Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
Yes, we are. It's Friday night. It's the roundtable discussion, and it's going to be an exciting one. I'm really looking forward to it. We've been talking about it all week. Listen up now. Call us. Call us 347-677-1835. We'd love to hear from you on the topics we're discussing tonight. That's 347-677-1835. Tonight with us is Mike Smith. Hi, Mike. How are you?
That's fine, Dave.
Mike is the leader of the Dallas County Fair Tax Group. He's a member of the Executive Committee for Grassroots Missouri Grassroots Coalition. What else there, Mike?
I'm working with the Dallas County Tea Party here, too, attending various different events around the state where I can.
And tonight we'll be talking to Mike. Mike went last Friday to the debate in Willard here. It was a debate between the five people who are facing off to talk with to challenge Claire McCaskill for that Senate seat in Washington, D.C. We'll probably narrow in on three of them. There's two of them that are just wannabes, but the real runners are Bruner, Aiken, and Steelman, and that's where all the focus is. We'll get Mike's take on that debate, and we'll probably talk a little bit about our druthers in that race. Lisa's here, too. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Just fine and dandy.
Lisa. Lisa has a show on Wednesday nights called The Culture Vigilante. She also is The Culture Vigilante. She is a renowned columnist at examiner.com. She is at homeschooling.com. That's not the name of that that site. What is the name of that homeschooling site, Lisa?
Homeschooling United.
Homeschoolingunited.com. Lisa is a homeschooler for a long time now, pulled her kids out of the public school to homeschool them. So if you want to stay up with homeschooling and what the issues are that affect homeschooling, go to homeschoolingunited.com. She's also a blogger at her site, Guardian Ad Litem. And all of these are, I've said that wrong, all of these are .wordpress.coms, aren't they, Lisa?
That's right.
So it's homeschooling. Yeah.
Reform. At .wordpress.com.
Okay. And on Lisa's Wednesday night show, which if you've missed, you need to be catching, she talks with a variety of people who remind us daily that conservatism is more than just politics. It is it's a way of life. Whether you're conservative or liberal, really is more than how you vote and how you think. It is your culture. It affects the way you think about education. It affects the way you think about religion. It affects the way you think about parenting. So at the Culture Vigilante, Lisa talks with us weekly, and she has several guests on about the culture of conservatism. And she's just started a new segment this week, which is Yankee Doodle Legislation, one of her favorite things to rave about. Tell us a little bit about your new segment, Lisa.
Well, Yankee Doodle Legislation alerts on the Culture Vigilante Hour will kind of educate you. We've all been conditioned to think that the mark of the successful legislator is to go to Jefferson City and write legislation and pass legislation. The problem is, every time a piece of legislation is passed, your rights and your freedoms are taken away or the noose is tightened around them a little bit more every year. More legislation does not equal more freedom. And especially during election years, you have situations where you have politicians and elected officials campaigning on hot button issues that they really can't do anything about, that really don't help you with your freedom whatsoever, but they write this fire and brimstone legislation. They go out and preach about it. They campaign on it. They get the electorate all lathered up and excited, but there's really very little meat or in the legislation that does anything to really help the citizenry. So we identify that legislation when we find it, and we issue a Yankee Doodle legislation alert, and we try to get the public to think a little bit differently about what they are hearing from their legislators and to have a little more scrutiny when they look at legislation and to ask deeper questions.
Very good. That sounds excellent. We Yankee Doodle, we got a new state butterfly after 2 days of hectic debate this year. You knew that, didn't you? Lisa's here tonight. She's going to share with us. Last Friday night, the same night Mike went to Willard, Lisa went to, where was that at, Lisa?
Well, it was a statewide candidate forum at the St. Charles Community College in St. Charles County. Many, many of the statewide candidates were there. And we had a fairly good turnout of the populace, even though it was a holiday weekend. And it was an interesting debate. Didn't hear much of anything new. Saw a couple of new faces that I hadn't seen before. There's an attorney general candidate that I didn't know was running against Ed Martin. A nice young man from Chillicothe area. Got to hear him speak. I think he'll have a bright future in politics. I believe his name was Adam Warren. Very young-looking young man, but very articulate. Held himself pretty well. Presented himself pretty well. Kind of look forward to hearing more from him in the future.
Okay, that's great. Tonight, though, with Lisa, we're going to zero in on what she took away from that as far as the confrontation between Spence and Randles goes. That's going to be a good race, and we all have our opinions on that. So we'll dive into that. We're going to catch one or two quick pieces of news, and then we're going to take a break, and we'll come right back and get into those confrontations from last week. Did you know that Tuesday is the big Wisconsin vote?
Can't wait for that.
Yeah, that's going to be a make or break, I think, for what we're looking forward to in November. I heard an interesting little tidbit on Bortz yesterday, and I did follow this up. I mentioned it last night on the Hour of Truth. Did you know that since Right to Work became the rule in the public sector unions of Wisconsin, that 54% of the public sector employees have opted out of the union?
I heard that today. That's an amazing statistic.
It is. It is absolutely incredible. So it doesn't surprise me a bit that the unions and the Democrats are up in arms about the new union rules in Wisconsin, because that's a lot of money. That's a lot of non-dues-paying members whose money isn't going to the union and therefore to the Democratic coffers.
Yeah, it's a huge blow to them, and to see this potentially take off on a more national level as more states get into that and try to mirror that type of legislation, they should be scared.
There's a move.
That's the sector culture at large. Once you have that turn in the workforce that's not supporting the union anymore,
that's right.
Going to be a culture shock.
It is. It is going to be incredible. In Springfield, down here in my part of the state, the city council is now talking about limiting the size of soft drink that can be sold to the public. Did you hear about that, Mike?
New York.
Yeah.
Springfield or New York?
No, Springfield is talking about that.
You got to be kidding.
Yep. 16 ounces.
I heard New York doing it, and I can imagine hearing it up there, but in Springfield too, of all places.
Well, yeah, we got One Air Alliance down here though, Mike. Springfield would not be allowed to. Now this is still way out. There's some talk of it. There are some council people coming down on the side of this. It's a long way from becoming a reality, and I don't think it will. I mean, we're having enough trouble just making a smoking ban stick here. There's still enough liberty-minded people in Springfield that I don't think this thing will fly. But the proposal is pretty much the same as New York. 16 ounces is the biggest drink you can sell. Refills are okay, but the 16 ounces cannot have more than 40 grams of sugar.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's gonna kill the sweet tea industry down here.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Sweet tea, that's huge. Okay, well, there's
no more no calories for sweet tea.
We're gonna take a break. Hey, listen out there, 347-677-1835. We're going to be kicking around your favorite candidates tonight, so you better get on the phone, call in, and have your say. 347-677-1835. This is Missouri Grassroots Coalition's voice, Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. This is the Friday Night Roundtable.
Okay, Missouri Patriots, I don't have to remind you that our ancestors fought and died for our right to exercise our voices and shape government in the interests of the people. And yet, in most elections, less than 20% of the population bothers to vote. Gas prices are outrageous, the economy is a disaster, and we are being regulated to death. Bad government and weak leadership are destroying the American way of life on a national and state level, and it's time to send a message to Washington, D.C. and Jefferson City and tell them we have had enough. If you're not registered to vote, the deadline to be eligible to vote in the August primary is July 11th and October 10th for the general election in November. The Patriot Revolution begins in 2012, and it happens at the polls. Vote in the August primary and the November general election, and bring a friend. The Constitutional Republic depends on it. I've got a feeling
that the tide is turning. Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty, or give me death.
We're back with Mike Smith and Lisa Payne Nager. I'm Dave Court. This is the Friday Night Roundtable. Let me get in a plug real quick, and then we'll move on. I want to plug as often as I can Krista Branch. That's the voice, the sweet voice you heard singing our theme song. That was the theme song from the Cain campaign. Krista was a finalist or semifinalist on American Idol. She wrote and recorded this song, and Herman Cain heard it. And, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know what order that – I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg there. I don't know if Herman Cain said, I want a theme song, and Krista wrote this song, or if Herman Cain heard it and said, I want that to be my theme song. But we wrote a little email to Krista, and we asked if we couldn't use this song for our show. I love it myself. Okay, I didn't mention the fact that Lisa Payne Nager is also an executive committee member at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. I want to get that in there. Okay, Mike, let's start with you. You went to the debate between Steelman, Bruner, and Aiken last Friday, and I've seen that debate. If you folks want to see it, it's that full debate is up at lockandsmith.com. LockeandSmith, like John Locke and Adam Smith, lockeandsmith.com. And it was a little bit different format than what we're used to seeing, wasn't it, Mike?
Yeah, it was. I liked it a lot better than the other type of debates that I've been to or seen on TV, you know, where you get the standard 1 minute or 3 minute, and then people get like 30 seconds to rebut and reply and all that stuff. And it was pretty much 30 minutes for three different categories, and the categories were focus on governing philosophy, focus on health care, and focus on economics. And they were pretty much given the first, I think, lead-in question out of each of those categories, and from there they didn't know what else was going to be asked. And so there were some pretty good questions in there. And I really like the format because they pretty much just let them talk until they were done or they started rambling or started repeating themselves. And most of them, for the most part, said what they needed to say and stopped. But they did expand for a little bit. So it was kind of good to hear their viewpoints.
Good, good. And what's your take then in general, just a quick overview of who's the winner, who's the loser, who gained ground, who lost ground there, Mike?
Well, let's start with the two bookends at the debate, and that was Mimley, who was touted as a fiscal conservative. And I tell you, I can't believe the conservative part, and I'm not too sure about the Republican part either. He's for high-speed rail, and he believes health care is a right. He said all those things at the debate, and listening to him speak, I just was not following what he was saying. I wasn't too impressed with him. Beck, on the other end, I believe he was a Constitution Party candidate before. I'm not sure if he's running as I guess he's running as a Republican this time, but definitely wasn't as impressed with him either. He tended to try to read his answers, and even on some of the questions, kind of refused to even answer them and kind of went with his own thing. And it was kind of apparent pretty quick that he didn't really seem to fit the mold of what they were trying to do, trying to pull answers out of them. He just pretty much said what he wanted to say. But as far as the big three, I was really interested to see how they framed the questions, because the way they've done them before, you can always make your canned sound bites and, you know, hit your talking points and sound good, but have to pontificate and expand on your rationale for why you want to do what you want to do. I was really looking forward to that. I would have to say out of the big three, I would think the loser would be Steelman. She did say some good things, but most of the questions, she seemed to not really answer them, but just kind of skirt around the edges and talked about other people's different solutions and didn't really seem committed to what she wanted to do and delve into it and explain why.
Well, you know,
why this is the best answer.
You know, the times I've heard Sarah talk, I get the impression that she doesn't know the answers. I get the impression that she's just not too studied on the things that people care about.
Well, I would probably agree with you. I was expecting more out of her. Now, I've heard her speak in debates before, you know, the typical format. And at times, her speech pattern sounded a little garbled and didn't flow as well. But, you know, during those, she at least had some substance with her talking points and stuff. But with this one, it became apparent that she wasn't convicted on what she was saying. To me, it almost seemed like she was afraid to say what she really believed because she was afraid it would cost her a vote.
Right.
And that's not what I'm looking for in a politician. Come out and tell me what you're for with conviction, explain the reasons why, and she had plenty of time, ample time, to do that, and I just didn't really hear it.
Okay, so Sarah lost ground. Who gained ground most?
Well, for me, to be honest, it was always Bruner and Aiken at the top two. I like some of what both of them have to say. I tended to give Aiken a little bit of an edge because he's a fair tax supporter, and of course, as you mentioned, I'm a big fair tax guy, and he's a co-sponsor of HR 25 and has been quite a few times and stuff, and so that seemed to give him a little bit of an edge. So I was really looking forward to hearing what Bruner had to say, and he didn't do bad, but he didn't wow me kind of like what I was kind of led to believe. And like I said, he didn't do bad, but for me, he came in second. He seemed to be pretty knowledgeable. He was the only one that actually kind of gave a jab out of the entire debate, talking about tort reform for Steelman, but she didn't respond to it, so I'm not sure that most people even noticed it. But like I said, he did well. Like Aiken, on the one on the governing philosophy, the way they framed the question was, you know, that there's pretty much two different philosophies on how to govern. One of them is pretty much as a delegate, and the other is as a trustee.
I loved that question, yeah.
Both Bruner and Aiken mentioned that they view themselves more as a trustee, and that you're looking for them to exercise their judgment based upon their life experiences, not being owned by special interests or other groups, whereas the delegate is more of a, the way it was presented was more of a, let's go with the voice of the people, and more of a democracy polling kind of leadership.
Yeah, I love that question, and I believe that's a question that I had never heard that question asked, and I believe it's a question that ought to be asked of everyone who wants our vote for an office, quite frankly. I really did love that question.
Yeah, I do too. Darren Chappell asked that, and I've heard Darren speak many times, and he's always very good, and he's always keyed in on governing philosophies, foundational principles, and using that as the, I guess, guidestone to help direct your votes. And if you understand a person's philosophy, guiding philosophy or principles, you'll know how they vote, and you can have better faith in them to act as a trustee to represent you.
Right. 347-677-1835. You want to weigh in on this. So we're talking about Steelman, Aiken, and Bruner here. Mike went and listened to them debate each other last Friday night. We've heard from him. Lisa, do you have a lean on this?
You know, as I'm listening to you guys discuss this debate, it kind of occurs to me, it must be nice to live in upstate Missouri, because in St. Louis, we rarely have debates. We have forums. And there are a different format, and I would really enjoy listening to a debate between the candidates. We don't really get an opportunity to do that very often. And I think debates are more telling and more informative for people to get a measure and a read on a candidate than a forum. So I think you all are fortunate out there.
You know, I really agree. And to be honest, I was really amazed that Locke and Smith pulled this off to get them to agree to do all this in that type of format. You know, kind of like you mentioned, I don't think that most politicians like to do debates like that because they're afraid they'll get caught in something, not know something, and not respond how they would typically like to.
Right. Or
and so
you know,
they don't agree to do them. And this was really a huge change.
Yeah, I would love to see some debates here. We don't do that. Now, on the 11th of June, I believe, one of the local talk radio stations here is hosting a debate between the senatorial candidates, and I believe it's a debate. I don't think it's a forum. We'll see. I don't actually know for sure. And it will be the first that I've been to in a while that is an actual debate format. So I'm hoping that we'll get the opportunity to see what you guys got to see last week.
Great. We'll hold that, Lisa, and we'll set aside that Friday night roundtable, and we'll hear what you have to think about that.
Okay.
Are you leaning one way or the other in this race, Lisa?
In the senatorial debate? You know,
yeah.
No, I'm not, actually. I'm not happy with any of them, to be honest with you. I have issues with all three of them for various reasons. You know I'm going to have to make up my mind at some point or another. I kind of feel like you guys do about Steelman. I don't know that she is as knowledgeable on the issues as she should be. She's been around for a while. You know, it's not her first rodeo. I think that she would be a little bit better prepared for these kinds of things. Bruner, I just don't know what to think of him. You know, he's trying to come across as kind of a down-to-earth grassroots guy. I'm just not buying it completely. You know, I'm a person that happens to think that not having a political background is a good thing, but I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to tie myself up and say, because I don't know anything about him, basically in his background, that I'm having a hard time. I don't think that's really what's turning me off about him. He's kind of not substantive in his delivery of his on the issues either. So I'm kind of a little off, you know, until I get a little bit more substance from him. And Todd Aiken, you know, He's from my area. I know him well. Generally very conservative, does a pretty good job on most things, but I've watched him pretty closely for a while, and he's a career politician, and he's done some career politician things, and I think I see the fallible parts of him as well as, the good parts. So, there's no perfect candidate. I know that. I'm going to have to suck it up and just figure out, I hate to go into an election with this attitude, but, pick the lesser of the evils.
Well, but at the Romney-Obama level, you're already doing that, so you might as well drag some of it down here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can agree a lot with what Lisa's saying, too. I mean, there's several votes that Aiken has made that I'm not really fond of either. And so I'm trying to balance that against, like you said, I'm not opposed to having a citizen-type candidate or somebody in there, but Bruner says some decent things, but he has no record to balance that off of. So you have to balance what he says with how much you feel that you can trust and then believe in his integrity to follow through with that, and whether or not you think he's saying that because he really believes it truly, or if that's what he thinks that you want to hear. And so I'm waiting through that deliberative process, I guess you could say, to try to figure out if I think he would be a better candidate. And they're very close. And I was reading a poll today, public policy polling, and they're pretty much neck and neck now polling. I think they range between 23% to 28% between the three of them. I think Steelman still has a little bit of edge at 28. And when they did the poll on them individually on who would beat or how they would do against Senator McCaskill, Bruner and Steelman were 1 point losers, and Aiken was a 1 point winner. So they're all very close.
That's
so I think whoever comes out is going to have a real good shot of beating her. But with a three-way like that, I'm concerned if Bruner and Aiken split the vote too much, that Steelman might wind up getting it, and I don't think she's in the top two.
Well, even if they're going against their polls that put them head to head with Claire, it's not comforting that they're only 1 point or 2 points difference. It's within the margin of error. You would think, with the state of affairs as they are, and with Claire, so closely tied to Obama, that there would be a much wider gap in those polls, and that's a little.
You would think that now, but. McCain barely beat Obama in the state of Missouri during the last election.
Yeah, and we can talk about those polls if you want, and here's the way those polls work. If you look at polls now, you'll find Romney barely beating Obama. Now, in my opinion, this is going to be a Reagan-esque landslide. I believe Romney is going to walk with this thing. But what you have right now is you have all the attention focused on the primary, on these three candidates, as you've had it focused for the past 6 months on five or sometimes six Republican presidential candidates. And everything that's moving out, everything that's on the TV, everything that's on the radio, everything that comes to you post-debate is a negative about one or the other of them. So there's been no open attack on either McCaskill or Obama from an organized point of view yet. Once we've settled on a candidate and it becomes Claire or this person and Obama or Romney, and they get to fighting each other and talking about records, then I believe you're going to see both of those polls shift quite radically.
I think you're absolutely correct there. It's kind of like, you're talking about Scott Walker and the Wisconsin recall earlier. I mean, you look at the polling till up to about 3 weeks ago. I mean, it was pretty neck and neck until they changed their polling structure and started polling only registered likely voters. And then
right.
All of a sudden you start getting 7 and 8 point swing.
Right.
To the point that Obama wouldn't even go in Wisconsin for fear of being saddled or tied along with that loss.
Exactly. So So I'm not too disappointed by the polls at this point in time. At this point in time, Ronald Reagan was not even a point ahead.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna get my 2 cents worth in here. Thank you, Mike, for that candid breakdown on what that debate was like. I didn't change my mind after watching the debate. Excuse me, and I'm not likely to. Steelman is out for me because, as I said, Steelman just comes off to me as someone who just doesn't get it on most issues. And not that she's on the wrong side of most issues. I think she's just ignorant of most of the important issues. She said she's for the flat tax and not the fair tax, for example, because the flat tax was fairer. Well, I mean, I don't want to say the fair tax is fair just because the name of it is fair tax, but you have to be pretty much a moron. You can say if you want to that the flat tax is you might make a case for the fact that it would generate more revenue. You might make a case for the fact that it would somehow hit a middle ground between what we have now and the fair tax. But you cannot make an argument that it is fairer by any means. And that's just an example of one of the issues where I think Steelman doesn't get it. And Steelman also is a little bit two-faced on some of the issues that she has talked about. Aiken lost my vote. I could hear Aiken talk about how great the fair tax is from now till the end of time, and he would never get my vote back. I was on the telephone in a town hall meeting with Todd Aiken the night before the disastrous debt ceiling limit increase vote. Todd Aiken promised us in that call that he would not vote for any increase in the debt ceiling unless it was tied to spending cuts, spending caps, and a balanced budget. And within 24 hours, he went out and did that. He's also backed NDAA. He backed the extension of the payroll tax. He backed every Patriot Act item that came down the tubes, and I know that was really popular for the Aikens of the world because it was an Ashcroft thing. So that made it feel good to Missouri Republicans, but it's not a liberty thing, and I just can't go. You know, I'm kind of where Mike is. You know, we've got a guy. We've got two people, actually, a guy and a woman with a record, and we've got this guy out here with no record. But where I am on this myself is, you know, there's a job to do, and we're the employer. And we've got a guy who's spent the last 2 years showing us that he can't carry the water for the Tea Party. And we've got a guy who says, I don't have a record, but I can. So it's time to renew the contract. Do we renew the contract on the guy who's proven he can't get the job done, or do we give the guy who says he can get the job done a chance to do it? And that's where I'm at. I'm going Bruner myself. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to let Lisa have the floor, and she's going to talk to us about the forum that she attended last Friday night. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio, 347-677-1835. Weigh in.
Jobs, taxes, traditional family values, education, protecting the unborn, Second Amendment, tort reform. These are the issues facing Missourians today. Hi, I'm Terry Varner. As your next state senator, I will continue to work to change government by preserving our liberties, reining in wasteful spending, and making the state of Missouri responsive to its citizens. I am a pro-life constitutionalist who believes our state and federal constitution are there for protection from overreaching government. I firmly believe that only by ignoring those documents has the government at all levels been able to trample on the liberty of its people. I would appreciate your vote this August 7th. I'm Terry Barner, and I approve this message.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Welcome back to Missouri Grassroots Radio. You're listening to the Friday Night Roundtable. I'm with the host, Dave, and Mike Smith. And we are here discussing the candidate forums and the senatorial debate and races across the state of Missouri. Last week, I had the opportunity to attend a wonderful statewide candidate debate forum in St. Charles County. Most of the statewide candidates were there. I think the headliners of the show were the gubernatorial candidates. We had Dave Spence and Bill Randles was there. It was the first time that I had seen those two candidates together in any forum or debate situation whatsoever. Bill Randles definitely stole the show. He's a better speaker. He's much more dynamic. He's got a lot more charisma. He's a little more substantive in his speech, a little bit more direct on the issues, a little bit. I don't want to say detailed, but because I would like to see both of them get a little deeper into the details on the issues, but he does seem to have a much better handle on the direction and specifics about where he wants to take the state, and he speaks on that a little bit more freely and a little bit more eloquently than Spence. Spence, just different type personality. Seems like a pleasant enough man, a competent enough man. I worry though that he has kind of been the hand-picked establishment guy. Randles is trying to be, and I think he's doing a very good job. He's run a brilliant campaign. He's trying to be the grassroots candidate. He's trying to get the grassroots support. He started out very early on, before anyone else was campaigning, going to grassroots meetings all across the state of Missouri, speaking at Republican women's events and Pachyderm events and Tea Party groups all across the state, very quietly picking them off one at a time, very personable. His wife, Bev, has been campaigning with him, and she's very talented as a speaker, and she's very engaging and very personable, so that together they make a great team. Spence just doesn't seem to have that personality as a campaigner. And I don't know that that necessarily disqualifies him as a gubernatorial candidate or makes him any less qualified to be the governor. But he just doesn't show as well as Randles on the road.
It's certainly going to make it more difficult for him to beat Nixon.
Well, yeah, I think that's the issue. I mean, it's very interesting, and what I find intriguing about the gubernatorial race here on the Republican side is that you have two candidates who have not been previously politicians. They don't have a past
right
in that realm, which I personally like that. Now, you always have the problem of, what is their record? You have to judge them on their campaign style. You have to judge them on their campaign issues. They don't have a record. But, in this day and age where we're trying to clean out establishment Republicans out of office and establishment career politicians, you kind of have to suck it up and just deal with it, because if you want to clean up the political landscape, you kind of just you can't rely on somebody's record all the time. So I like the idea that neither of these candidates have a political background.
And I agree with that completely. And one of the things that interests me about these two candidates is looking at their background. Spence comes from more of the business industry, businessman, successful, probably understands economics and economy pretty well. Randles is a lawyer and everything. been a successful one. But one of the things that I notice about Randall's is even though he's a lawyer, you would think that he would typically support those type of things that they would push for. But he seems to be against the Missouri plan for the way judges and justices are done here in the state of Missouri, and going against it that way. The right to work, he's for right to work. His policies and the solutions that he's presenting does seem to be more in line with what the typical grassroots conservative Tea Party type members are looking for. And he's a big fair tax guy too. And he can speak fluently on it. And he is very personable. And he does come across well. And looking at the positions that he puts out, I don't know that there's very many of them that I would disagree with at all.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he's got some great ideas, and I think, you know, because he's an attorney, he understands how the system works probably better than Spence does. At least that's the way he comes across when he speaks. I don't know that he can accomplish all the things that he says he wants to accomplish, you know, or that they can be done. He has signed the Educational Freedom Pledge. I had to work really hard to get him to do it, which kind of bothers me because, I speak to these politicians a lot, and I hear a lot about, oh, I really agree with that, and I support homeschooling, but we just don't sign pledges. And that's the answer I got from Spence. Spence will not sign my pledge. And I just have a problem. You know, these pledges, I'm kind of looking for any candidates, and to kind of stand for something. You know, I'm tired of them dancing around doing a little sidestep number all the time. You know, they should be able to put their name on something and be able to stand for something. And I'm a little nervous about both of those candidates, you know, not just because they wouldn't sign my pledge, but, you know, sign some pledge, stand for something.
Are you leaning one way or the other in this one yet, Lisa?
You know, today I like Randall's. You know, I've kind of gone back and forth on the issues. You know, I'm the thing about Spence that really bothers me is I think he's the handpicked establishment guy. I think he's, you know, I worry that he would be the establishment puppet. You know, Randall's is an intelligent man, and I think that, you know, if he's true to his word, you know, if you can believe everything that he says, he'd probably be an excellent governor. I think he'd be really good teamed up with Ed Martin as Attorney General. I think the two of them
I agree with that completely.
Yeah, I think the two of them could do some damage, and that would be great.
Go ahead.
There's just a little. I just want to vet them both a little bit more. I'm not ready to commit. I'm probably not going to be ready to commit for a while.
Well, on this one, for me, I probably committed fairly early. You know that you'd mentioned that Randall's has been out there for quite a while, and so I've done some research on his policies and his solutions and what he's looking for, and I've heard him speak. And to me, it seems, like you said, kind of like Spence came in because the establishment, what Randall's is presenting is not what the establishment wants. I believe that firmly. And so they had to find somebody that would run and that they could put their weight behind. And I kind of think that Spence is, like you said, is kind of their pick. And I'll be honest, I haven't researched him as well as I have Randall's. But listening to him, I'm definitely more for Randall's. And I don't think they'll change. Got a little music going there.
We know what's going on with this.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. Dave, did you do that?
Did I do what?
That music.
No. I didn't do any music. In fact, I just now got disconnected and had to call back in.
Oh.
Skype disconnected me. I just got back.
That's what it was. The network. It was network music then. We thought we were being invaded, that the Obama administration was invading our show.
No, that was, I'm just now back, so I miss, when I left, Mike was talking about having just made the decision fairly early in the game, and I'll tell you, I did too, and a couple of things did it for me. One is the fact that I don't know any of Spence's peeps. I do know quite a few of Bill Randall's people, and I do know for a fact that Bill Randall does not get handled. When you hear Bill Randall's talk, you're hearing Bill Randall's talk. And I don't know, but I get the feeling, don't you, that Spence is well handled.
Oh, he is absolutely well handled. I know his people.
Right. So we're working now to get those two on a Hour of Truth, and if we can do that, that'll be great. I don't know that we'll be able to get Mr. Spence here after, if he hears tonight's show. But I'm definitely for Randall's, and I'll be fair to everybody. So Mr. Spence, if you'd come on the show, you will get, just like Bill Randall's, you'll get all the questions before we ask them, and we'll be totally fair, and we'll give you all the time you need to state your position. But what sold me on Bill Randall's, aside from the knowledge that he is not handled and won't be handled, is as an attorney, we throw around this nullification word a lot. We just toss it out there in conversations like we know what the hell we're talking about. But the fact of the matter is that nullification and the constitutional law involved in a state nullification is quite complex, and Randall's knows it. He knows how nullification works, he knows when nullification works, and he knows how to get it done, and he's in favor of getting it done, number one for me. Number two is the way they both talk about jobs, and we have the same problem with Brunner, in my opinion, and that is, I don't want a politician to tell me that he can create jobs. I want him to tell me how he's going to get politics out of the way so jobs can be created. But Spence has all these plans for tax incentives and enterprise zones and et cetera, to get jobs created. And I've never liked that, and I don't like it, and I will never like it.
I agree with that completely. I was looking through his webpage again and looking over his job stuff, and I was looking over it just as you were reading it again, talking about, you know, his tax credits and how he wants to engage the government in trying to incentivize that. I'm with you. I'm more with getting the government out of the way and putting the free back in the free market. I think it's one of the reasons why our economy nationally is stifled as much as it is, because of all that red tape, regulation, taxes, and, you know, unless you spend a ton of money and legal fees and accountants and stuff, it's probably very hard for any business not to break some law in one way, shape, or form, probably because multiple laws conflict themselves, and you can't be in compliance with one law without breaking another one.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And quite frankly, in spite of the Republican Congress that we've had at the State House the last two sessions, on both sides of the rotunda, we're sitting here on about $2.5 billion worth of money spent creating jobs in Missouri and a continually declining employment rate, and nationally we're sitting on $3.5 trillion worth of job creation that has produced nothing. The fact of the matter is that government doesn't produce jobs. You've heard it 100 times, and you know it to be true. And I don't know why Mr. Spence doesn't know it to be true.
And any job that they do create would only be temporary at the very least.
Well, not only that, not only would it be temporary, but it wouldn't do anything to help the economy, because every dollar the government spends is a dollar they took out of the private sector.
Right, that could be used for creating jobs.
That's right.
To expand business, to build capital.
Weigh in on that, culture lady.
Well, here's what I think about that. Okay, you've got Bill Randles, who is a trained attorney. He's a litigator. You know, he's got the personality. He's definitely got, I don't know if you want to say character, but it's in his character, it's in his makeup to be a performer, and he's good at it. He just presents well. Fine. You know, we have a lot of politicians who are career politicians who present well.
We got one in the White House that presents well, at least when he has a teleprompter, but no substance.
Well, you know, and I think you kind of need to take that into consideration. I really, you know, I'm more comfortable with his presentation. I like the things that he says. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get what you're buying, you know. And on the other hand, you have Spence, who doesn't really present as well. He comes across, I think that his philosophy is probably more of the establishment, comes from the establishment Republican background. You know, he is a very successful businessman. He knows how the business world works. Good for him. I think I'm trying to be objective about this. Okay, you know, one thing that I think that we need to do is we tend to, I think, as a culture, become emotionally driven in our political choices. And I think that we need to be more logically driven in our political choices, and I think you have to look at this from a logical point of view. You have Spence, who comes from, I think, a business background. You know, he's not as dynamic and he is not as charismatic, but he probably does bring to the table some very good business ideas. I don't know that I necessarily agree with all of his stature on the issues, but, you know, he does have a unique experience there. You have Randles. You know, he's an attorney, he's a litigator, he presents very well, he knows, he's an intelligent man, and he picks up the grassroots Tea Party speak very well, and he delivers it very well. You know, nobody knows if either of those candidates is sincere and genuine because neither of them have a record to run on. You kind of just have to go with your research and your gut.
Right. And that's the dichotomy. The dichotomy there is that we say, well, we don't want career politicians. We're all for getting these people in the race who haven't been politicians before, because that's what we need. We need to get away from the establishment. But then when you do that, when you get a race like this, or when you get a Bruner, or when you get a race like 80% of all the Senate and representative races that we're vetting in the state now, you get down to this, how do you know what you're buying? You know, we got Billy Long last time because we didn't know what we were buying. He came on, he touted the Tea Party line, he flew the Tea Party banner, and he got up there, and he pretty much became Boehner's yes man. And that's just, you know, it is a dichotomy. If you don't want the career politicians, and if you don't want the people who've been around and have the records, then you just have to live with finding a way to use your own gut to vet these guys out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it, you know, and hopefully while you're using your gut, you don't become too emotionally motivated one way or another. You stick to the facts, you stick to the issues, you know, you don't let your emotions get tied up. I'm a grassroots person. I really want to see some statesmanlike people be elected, you know, and I think that we've put a few in office, and, you know, and the few that we've put in, some of them have remained true to the grassroots. I really want to see that, but, you know, you just have to maintain a logical stance when you look at these candidates. It's like you said earlier, Dave, we're hiring someone to do a job. We have to look at them as an employee. You know, and most of what I see, if you want to kind of flip back to the senatorial race, you know, I wouldn't hire any of those people. I'd start new candidates. I don't like any of them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not motivated to want to put any of those people in an elected office seat because they're all dancing. You know, nobody is coming out strong with the kind of statesmanlike character that I'm looking for to fill that seat.
Okay. Go ahead.
and in the gubernatorial race, you know, I think that Randles is trying to do that with his message. But I caution you, don't become emotionally involved.
Sorry about that. I started that too early. Don't become emotionally involved.
Yeah, don't become emotionally involved with your candidates. Remain a logical and methodical vetting process. You know, maintain that and you know, just do the logic, you know, take the logical choice.
39-second break. We'll come back for last words.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@missourigrassrootscoalition.org for details.
One of our better Friday night roundtables, we've had Mike Smith here, leader of the Dallas County Fair Tax Group and a member of the Executive Committee at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. Mike, have a last word, 30 seconds.
I think Lisa was right on with what she was just saying a few minutes ago, that we need to kind of take the emotions out of vetting our candidates and look at the issues and the policies and the stances that they take and use that as the basis on who you prefer. And then I think at that point, once you kind of have a leader on who you think, then you can start looking at the final criteria. Do you think that you can believe him? Do you think they have the integrity to stick by what they believe? And do they have that founding philosophy to guide their decisions? And I think that is key. And I think we do need to get away from those 30-second sound bites as our guideline to make decisions. People need to become informed and do a little bit of research.
Thanks very much, Mike.
And those people who do the research.
Thanks very much, Mike. Lisa Payne Nager, Examiner.com, Culture Vigilante, Guardian Ad Litem, and homeschooling guru, also a member of the Executive Committee at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. 30-second wrap-up, Lisa.
Okay, well, I'm going to be looking a little deeper. What Mike said kind of struck a chord with me. You know, I'm not interested in 30 seconds on bites. I'm not interested in two paragraphs on your webpage that explain your policy on education or job creation. You know, I want some concrete, you know, I want a 3-year plan, I want a 5-year plan, I want a 10-year plan. You know, I want to see what your vision is. And the 30 second sound bites aren't going to cut it with me anymore. I want some substance.
Very good. That's Lisa Payne Nager, Mike Smith, both on the Executive Committee at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, both very active, and thank you both for coming along tonight. I have really, really enjoyed this show. Listen, you're on Missouri Grassroots Radio. You're on the Friday night roundtable. On Monday nights and Thursday nights, we have the Hour of Truth. We vet the candidates. On Tuesday night, Vaughn Carricker comes along with her Show Me Common Sense, an excellent show. Lisa's show is on Wednesday night, and next Friday night we'll have another roundtable. That's it for tonight. Thanks very much for listening in. We appreciate you.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.